Good afternoon. You're listening to Politics in Action on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Anna, bringing you the latest on local political news. On today's episode, I will be talking about the thousands of Francophones living in Ontario protesting French language cuts in Ottawa. Trump's threats to scrap old NAFTA continue, and Quebec presses forward with cuts to immigration despite Trudeau's concerns, while Montreal enhances the transition of newcomers to the city by unveiling a $24 million plan to integrate new immigrants into city life. A story that might not be close to home, but certainly close to many of our hearts, is that of thousands of people protesting signs outside Ottawa City Hall Saturday in a massive protest over the Ontario government's cuts to French language services. The protest was one of many that took place in nearly 40 communities across the province, including the Eastern Ontario communities of Hawkesbury, Prescott, and Cornwall. Protesters are criticizing the government's decision to alter the position of French Language Services Commissioner and to cancel a project to build a long-awaited French language university in the Toronto area. Politicians from all three levels of government attended the Ottawa rally to show solidarity, including Melanie Joly, the Federal Minister for Language and La Francophonie, and Pierre Arcand, the interim leader of Quebec's Liberal Party. Joly stated that, "We're really saying no to what's going on at Queen's Park right now. This is clearly an unacceptable decision." She touted her government's launch of a new court challenging program that could help minority language groups defend their rights and an increase in funding to minority language groups across the country. She also said that should the Ford government change its mind about canceling the university project, the federal government would support it up to 50%. In Hawkesbury, former Progressive Conservative MPP Amanda Seymard took part in a rally held on the doorstep of her constituency office. The MPP for Glengarry, Prescott Russell, heavily criticized the Ford government's cuts before leaving the party to sit as an independent earlier this week. She said, "I was the parliamentary assistant, but I did not have a voice," referring to her former role as parliamentary assistant to the minister responsible for Francophone affairs, a position Ford scrapped and then reinstated after a backlash. She continued, "I think now I will be able to speak more freely." Marie-France Lalonde, the Liberal MPP for Orleans and Ontario's former minister for Francophonie affairs, said the rallies across the province show Franco-Ontarians have a strong presence. She stated, "We'll see what it means when you open Pandora's box for Franco-Ontarian and Francophones and Francophiles. Language rights is something part of our constitution. What Mr. Ford is saying is that we're not important." A number of Coalition Avenir Quebec politicians from Western Quebec were also at the rally, including Chapleau, MNA Mathieu Levesque, and Papineau, MNA Mathieu Lacombe, the province's minister for both families and the Outaouais. Quebec residents like Natalie Batika also showed up. She stated, "We have to fight together, because if something happens in one of the provinces, it's going to affect Quebec." Carol Jolene, president of the Francophone Assembly of Ontario, said two institutions of the Franco-Ontarian community have been directly attacked by the Doug Ford government. She stated, "You don't touch our institutions. That's the essence of our culture and what we are as Francophones in Ontario." Jolene said it's also important to have an independent French Language Services Commissioner that's not attached to the Ombudsman's office. He said the Commissioner doesn't just receive complaints, but makes sure ministries know their responsibilities when it comes to French services and informs residents of their rights. "We have to put together a Francophone community for Mr. Ford, I believe, because I'm not sure he understands who we are and how we feel and basically our rights," said Jolene. Lauren Touchant was one of the roughly 5,000 people who attended the Ottawa rally. She said it was a privilege to be able to study in French for her doctorate. "To learn in your own language, it's critical," she stated. François Latour came from St. Albert, Ontario, roughly 60 kilometers east of Ottawa, to attend the rally. He said, "It's for my kids and my grandkids. Otherwise, they're going to lose their French and it's going to be all English." Orleans High School French teacher Marie-Pierre Charlebois said she sees every day how her students are influenced by Anglophone culture. She continued, "I just want to be here to be proud of my culture, my language, and show them that it's important and that we need to fight for it." Another French language teacher, Nadine Mello-Lamire, said her community often feels like it's an invisible minority, since many are bilingual. She said, "We're not going to stand for the fact that our rights are going to be taken away from us. We are here. We've been here for 400 years. There are two languages, official languages in Canada, not a small one and a big one," said the Hawkesbury, Ontario resident. "We need to know that our democracy is going to be making sure that our minorities are well treated," she continued. U.S. President Donald Trump has reignited his threat to withdraw from the North American Free Trade Agreement, and with it, a well-worn debate among scholars about the limits of presidential power when it comes to trade. The U.S. president made his latest pledge to terminate the 24-year-old trilateral pact as he was preparing to leave the G20 summit in Buenos Aires, an event that included the ceremonial signing of the new United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA. He stated, "I'll be terminating it within a relatively short period of time," he told reporters aboard Air Force One. "That'll be terminated so Congress will have a choice of the new USMCA or pre-NAFTA, which worked very well." In a sense, the comments were nothing new. Canada and Mexico were both on the receiving end of Trump's pledges to scrap NAFTA during the difficult 15 months of negotiations to revamp the deal. But this time, Trump's take-it-or-leave-it scenario was directed at the newly elected Democratic Congress. Approve the USMCA deal or have no deal at all. Indeed, the New Deal is facing resistance from congressional Democrats who have criticized the strength and enforceability of the New Deal's labor and environmental standards. Curtis Bradley, a Duke University law professor and editor of the International Law Journal of the American Law Institute, stated, "What Trump's obviously trying to do is start a clock. I think he strategically believes that makes it more likely the new NAFTA will simply be approved. The question is, can he use this threat as leverage? My guess is he can." Under the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution, the president has the power to make trade deals, that is, act as a spokesperson and negotiator for the country, with the final deal requiring the approval of Congress. However, when it comes to the new president's power to terminate deals, the clause is silent. That gap has prompted a long-standing debate among legal scholars. While some argue a withdrawal must be approved by Congress, others point to a pattern of historical practice in which presidents have unilaterally withdrawn from treaties for most of the 20th century. Bradley continues, "As a matter of practice, it is established. Trump has done it already on a number of treaties." Nonetheless, not everyone agrees. The U.S. Constitution specifically deprives the president of the power to regulate commerce, argues Joel Tranchman, a trade expert and professor of international law at the Fletcher School at Tufts University in Medford, Mass. And while there are some instances in which the president has acted unilaterally to terminate commercial treaties, far more cases have involved the participation of Congress. Tranchman says the Commerce Clause has been interrupted by the Supreme Court as depriving the president of power to regulate commerce. The withdrawal from NAFTA would be the regulation of commerce, and so, in his view, he doesn't have the power for that. The likely fallout if Trump triggers a U.S. withdrawal from NAFTA would definitely be litigation, he continued. Under Article 2205 of NAFTA, any country can withdraw from the deal with 6 months' notice. Ending the arrangement would likely require a second notification, and a lawsuit would probably seek an injunction on that auction. But what if Trump were ultimately successful in terminating the deal? When the original NAFTA was brought into force, its predecessor, the 1988 Canada-US Free Trade Agreement, was suspended. "We had an exchange of notes with the Americans that said if something happens with the NAFTA, the FTA would come back into being," said John Weeks, Canada's chief negotiator on the original deal. But while those letters may have set out a clear intention, it's hard to say they'd be legally enforceable now, he continued. On the same story, many business owners, specifically a CEO named José Boisjoli of BRP Inc., a spin-off of Bombardier Inc., which is a Quebec-based manufacturer of recreational vehicles, stated that U.S. politicians will ratify the revised NAFTA despite threats that the continent would be left without a deal. Boisjoli believes that logic will prevail. Returning to pre-NAFTA trade policies, by this I refer to the FTA agreement that was stated earlier, would create uncertainty and deep negative consequences, especially for the automotive industry. Boisjoli said he is happy with the new trade deal, even though he expects BRP will face a $10 million hit next year from the need to increase domestic content. Boisjoli said he's happy with the new trade deal, even though he expects BRP will face a $10 million hit next year from the need to increase domestic content on all-terrain vehicles made in the U.S. Steel and aluminum tariffs are expected to add another $25 million. He continues, "So far, we are quite happy with the outcome because the impact for us will be minimal." He said USMCA will be a lot less damaging than the company and many investors once feared. To be globally competitive, he said, North America needs low-cost manufacturing hub in Mexico to complement higher-cost areas in Canada and the U.S., just like Europe has low-cost Eastern Europe and Asia has China and Thailand. Quebec is moving forward with its plan to cut the number of immigrants by more than 20% next year, despite concerns raised by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. The Coalition Avenir Quebec government tabled details of its policy on Tuesday, confirming it will go ahead with a campaign promise to reduce the number of immigrants to 40,000 in 2019, down from more than 50,000 this year. Immigration Minister Simon Jolin Barrette said the government wants to make sure those who are coming will be better integrated into the workforce. He stated in the National Assembly that what we want is to use our resources so that every person that chooses Quebec has a chance at success. At a news conference, Jolin Barrette didn't offer details about how the government will ensure more immigrants find jobs. He also said a French language and values test, a contentious proposal put forward during the campaign, is still in the works. Earlier Tuesday, Trudeau suggested Quebec should rethink its plan to cut back on the number of immigrants it expects this year, stating he's heard from business owners who are concerned about the province's labor shortage. He said, "I'm not sure this is the best time to reduce the number of people who are coming," he told reporters in Ottawa speaking in French. The CAQ requires cooperation from the federal government to follow through on its campaign promise. Quebec only has jurisdiction over economic immigration, while the family reunification and refugees programs are overseen by the federal government. Intergovernmental Affairs Minister Dominique LeBlanc, the federal government's point person on the issue, said the federal government will study Quebec's plan. He said he wants to make sure the province fulfills its duties, outlined in the existing Ottawa Quebec immigration agreement, to take in refugees and immigrants who already have family living in the province. Montreal Mayor Valérie Plante also raised concerns Tuesday about the impact the CAQ plan will have on labor shortages in the province's largest city. Quebec's unemployment rate reached a historic low of 6.1% last year. The CAQ's economic update released Monday, noted the tightening labor market could slow economic growth. The Conseil du Patronat de Québec, CPQ, a major employers group that promotes business interests in the province, agreed. It released a statement Tuesday evening saying that immigration is essential to the province's prosperity. "Reducing the volume only makes the situation worse," said Yves Thomas Dorval, the president of CPQ. They said it hopes the government will now increase the number of temporary foreign workers to meet labor demands. In defending his immigration policy, Premier François Legault has repeatedly pointed out the unemployment rate is 15% among immigrants who have been in the province for 5 years or less. Trudeau said discussions about the quotas with the province are ongoing. Ottawa, meanwhile, has signaled its intention to increase the number of immigrants across the country. The Quebec Liberals wanted to have a debate about the CAQ's immigration plan, but no debate nor vote among members of the National Assembly is required to set the annual quota. Liberal immigration critique Dominique Anglade said the government's target number is arbitrary, and a decrease in newcomers won't necessarily mean they will be better integrated. For this specific concern, Montreal will introduce a host of measures over the next 3 years aimed at making it easier for new immigrants to find jobs, housing, and city services, regardless of their legal status. Mayor Valérie Plante announced this Wednesday. With the implementation of this plan, the municipal administration has met the winning conditions that will accelerate the process of integrating newcomers to maximize their full participation in Montreal life, Plante said at a news conference in the Bureau of Villeray-Saint-Michel Parc Extension. She described the plan, titled Montreal Inclusive, as a first of the city. The province is contributing roughly $12 million and the city another $12 million for a total of $24 million. Plante's announcement comes one day after the provincial government confirmed its intention to cut the number of immigrants Quebec accepts by more than 20% next year. Montreal's goal, said Plante, is to be an example of openness, safety, and inclusiveness as both an administrator and an employer. Along with providing integration services, the city will also work to ensure employees and the rest of the population improves their reception and inclusion capacities. Under Montreal's integration plan, the city will transfer millions in funding to community groups that provide services to immigrants. Plante said there will be a focus on organizations in 6 priority areas. The city will be looking to support programs that, among other things, reduce discrimination, contribute to the protection of immigrant rights, and combat the isolation of female newcomers. City will also provide protection and access to services for migrants whose legal status is uncertain. Plante said, "We want to focus on actions to protect all residents of the city, regardless of their status. We will take concrete actions." City will establish an access without fear policy that will allow residents to use city programs and services. Plante said she wants new immigrants to feel welcome when they arrive. Immigrants who want their kids to participate in day camp or visit the library won't need to provide an address, explained Marie-Christine, director of Montreal's Newcomer Integration Office. This practice, she said, is still in development, but the city is looking at various models already implemented by other municipalities with similar policies. Municipal services will be accessible to everybody, she concludes. The city's plan outlines a range of goals that will guide its efforts to improve the integration of new arrivals. They include enhancing immigrant access to positions within the city's workforce, working with local employers to speed up recognition of foreign credentials and experience, centralizing information for new arrivals, giving them easy access to information about resources, and improving French language training for immigrants. One of the first challenges new immigrants face, the plan states, is finding decent, affordable housing. Beyond this difficulty of navigating the local system, they must deal with language barriers and discrimination. City wants to encourage all stakeholders to facilitate access to quality housing and property for newcomers. It will identify residences that are appropriate for immigrants with precarious status. There will also be an effort to produce multilingual flyers and hire agents that can explain tenants' rights in different languages. The Plante administration will, at the same time, stop calling Montreal a sanctuary city, which has been an initiative of former mayor Denis Coderre. Legally, Plante said, the city cannot offer special protection to newcomers as it is up to the federal government to accept, deny, or expulse citizens. Magda Poponu, the executive committee member in charge of diversity, said Montreal will describe itself instead as a responsible and committed city with an emphasis on actions on the ground to protect the entire population of Montreal, regardless of status, without fear. This has been Politics in Action on CJMQ 88.9 FM. I'm Anna, bringing you the latest on local political news. Thank you for listening.